you haven't done so already, you can go ahead and mark in your songbooks song number 694. 694 will be the song after our mini exhortation this evening. And I want to briefly go back to what we had started to take a look at last Lord's Day evening in the book of Joshua, and in specific, the 7th chapter, if you'd like to be turning there. And we were studying, or we were looking at, the idea of the man who loses the battle of life, and the idea of what can happen that can cause us to, in fact, lose the battle of life. And, of course, the emphasis being on what can happen if a man loses the battle for spiritual life. If a man loses the opportunity to win a home in heaven with our Lord and Savior. And we started addressing the question, how can this happen? What is it that can cause this to happen? And we went over the following three examples of this particular man. We talked about how the man who is covetous can cause himself to lose the battle of life, as well as the man who chooses to disobey God's commands, or the man who transgresses God's covenants with him. This week, we'll look at the man who steals from God, the man who is untruthful, and the man who chooses to serve self rather than serve God. Initially looking at the man who steals from God. Achan, in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 11, we're reminded, took that which belonged to God. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded for them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. And we find out in this account that Achan had buried some of these things underneath his tent, or underneath his dwelling place, to hide those things that he had stolen from God. The question that I would ask ourselves to consider this evening is, are there ways in which I can steal from God? What about the idea of the fact that I'm supposed to be giving back a portion of that which he has already given me? We all know 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also on the first day of the week. Let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. He doesn't say, so this is a good idea for you also. As I commanded them, so I command you. Ask yourself, I need to ask myself, am I holding back and stealing from that which I should be giving back to the Lord for all that he has blessed me with? 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 reminds us to let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Pretty self-evident, that's a pretty easy one that we can ask ourselves, are we stealing of those funds that we ought to be giving to our Lord? But what about stealing time that we have set aside to worship him? What about taking time that was supposed to be devoted to the assembling of the saints and stealing that time to sit at home and watch a football game? Stealing that time to do whatever it is that I felt was more important. Now that's time that's already been devoted, just like those funds should have been set aside. It's already been set aside. It's already been devoted, and guess what? It does not belong to me. Sunday mornings, starting at 9:30 in the morning, that time does not belong to me. That's time that the saints have settled here and decided to have a Bible class and then to go on and to have our worship service and our assembly. So we have the assembling of the saints, which does include our Bible classes. You know, I'm just too tired this morning. We had a really great singing last night. I gave God extra time. spent time singing and praising Him, and you know what? Now I'm tired. So God will understand, even though I've set apart time for Him to study His Word in Bible class, He'll understand if I sleep in, but still show up for the assembly, right? Are we stealing from God's time? What if I said, you know what? It takes Rob 15 or 20 minutes to get through a question in Bible class. So really, I can be 5 or 10 minutes late, and I won't have missed anything because we'll still be discussing the first topic. Guess what? That wasn't your time to take. That was time that belongs to God, and when you don't show up, you steal it. What about stealing time from the Lord's Supper? What about not taking the necessary time to focus on and remember the suffering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Are we trying to rush through it as fast as we possibly can and just get it over with? Or are we giving it and giving God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ the time that they deserve for a proper remembrance and a proper reverencing of who they are? We all understand Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's not your time. It's God's. So don't take it. If you gave a little extra, that's appreciated. But you don't get to create a little account that says, okay, I've debited so much time different from what God expected over here so I can take it away from Him when it's already been allotted to Him. We don't have the right to do that. If that means that I got to set my alarm clock 45 minutes early so I can hit the snooze button 3 times, then that's what I need to do. But I need to get here, and I need not steal God's time. We also understand that the man who is untruthful loses the battle of life. Verse 11, we see the word deceived. If you look at chapter 7 and verse 11, Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I have commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived. Deceitfulness can be a lie. He says this idea of deceitfulness can be translated lied or played the hypocrite. I've said I'm going to do something, but I actually do something else. The man who is untruthful can lose the battle of life. There are, in fact, multiple verses. Leviticus 19:11 says, "You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another." Psalm 101:7, "He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence." That's pretty cut and dry. Where is God's home? Heaven. You can't go into His home if you're a liar. That's pretty straightforward. Proverbs 12:22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight." And in Proverbs 19:9, we'll jump to, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish." If we perish, we've lost the spiritual battle of life. In the New Testament, we also have multiple verses as well. We know in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And why has Satan caused you to try to deceive the Holy Spirit? Why have you done this? Why has Satan caused you to lie? And we know that both were struck dead instantly for that. Luke chapter 8, verse 17 reminds us, "For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. You cannot lie to God. It may take time, but ultimately, your sin, your lie will find you out. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be 10 years from now, but at some point, your sin will find you out. Achan's did, right? That which was hidden under his tent really wasn't hidden. God knew it was there, and he paid the price. You can mark down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, Colossians 3, 9, and look at Revelation 21 and verse 8. I can't sum it up any better than Revelation 21 and verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The man who is untruthful, deceitful, or plays the hypocrite will lose the spiritual battle of life. And the man who serves self rather than God loses the battle of life. The trouble with Achan was he wanted to serve himself. He was more concerned with what he could have in his own desires with that which was available to him than he was concerned with what God wanted done with that. He wanted it for himself because he knew wealth would prosper him. And that was more important than what God wanted. He felt he was more important. And the truth is, he was not fully committed to God and his commands and his ways. Was he somewhat committed? Sure he was. He did part of what he was supposed to do, but is part of it good enough? Or do I need to be fully committed? Selfish ambitions come from the world, the flesh, and the devil. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. You're all familiar with this, talking about the works of the flesh. We won't read that one, but he says, just as I told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will lose the battle of life. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. When we are self-seeking, when we're more concerned about taking care of ourselves and doing what God would have us to do, then we're going to lose. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. We're taught to love not the world, nor the things in the world, because all that is in the world is passing away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, all of those things are passing away. Our focus should be on Jesus Christ. Christ taught us not to look out only for our own interests, but he taught we deny self, take up our cross, and follow him. If you want to win the battle of life, you're going to have to deny self. You're going to have to decrease so that he increase. That's what needs to take place. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we have the parallel account in Luke, the 9th chapter, and verse 23. If we want to win the battle of life, then we've got to stop serving self and start serving God. We understand no man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will despise the one and accept the other. We cannot serve God and mammon. Cannot serve God and riches. Cannot serve God, I would say, and self. Or you'll lose the battle of life. So what's the conclusion? As we've looked at this brief example in the book of Joshua, looking again at a man by the name of Achan, who many people may not be familiar with, we can learn some things. And as we conclude this evening, we need to ask ourselves this question. Am I losing the battle of life by being covetous? If I am, I need to fix it. Am I losing it by disobeying God's command? If yes, fix it. Am I transgressing God's covenant? If yes, fix it. Am I stealing from God? Not just my contribution. My time, my energy, my efforts, my thoughts. Am I giving Him 100%, or am I really stealing that which belongs to God? Am I being untruthful? Am I trying to deceive God or others around me? If I am, I need to fix it. And lastly, ask myself, am I serving myself rather than serving God? And if I'm serving myself, then I need to stop it. I need to recognize that it's my job to take up my cross and follow after Jesus Christ. And if I do that, then I can win the battle of life, as Paul states that he was able to do. He's fought the good fight. He's finished the race. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness in heaven. That's what we are looking for. And I said, fix it. How do I fix it? Exactly through what we were talking about and singing about this evening. I fix it through prayer. I fix it through going to God and asking Him for forgiveness, asking Him not only for forgiveness, but for help. Help me to do better. You see, asking for forgiveness is the first step. But take it one step further. Ask Him to help you so you won't do it again. Ask your brothers and sisters to pray for you that you won't do it again. Prayer is a powerful tool. Or, obviously, the first step is being buried in the waters of baptism and rising anew. If there's any in this audience that has any need this evening, again, this congregation stands willing and ready to assist while we stand and sing the selected song.